Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
One of the things as we begin to plant out congregations around the region that God spoke to us about from Romans 1 verse 16 was, and if you know that verse, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And often we understand that verse being that the gospel first came to the Jews, and then as a result of the rejection of the gospel, the gospel then went to the Gentiles, and ultimately God's plan of salvation is going to bring it all together as one new man in Christ, as it talks about in the New Testament in Ephesians. So we know God's heart and plan is for Jews as well as Gentiles, but what God said to us is wherever you start and wherever you go out to start a congregation, you're to build relationship with the Jewish community in those towns. And so as we're going to Worthing, we're making connections with the Jewish community down there. There's not many people down there, not many Jews there as part of the community of Jews there, but we're seeking to make contact, build friendship, and just say, look, God's given us a heart for your nation, for the Jewish people. We pray for you. We want God's best for you. And really just seeing how God might then open up any opportunities, obviously, to share the gospel with them. But first and foremost, it's to really make connection, to know that we don't hate them, we're not against them, but actually, you know, we love you and we pray for you and want to see God bless your lives. And in Brighton, although we haven't got a congregation there, there's the beginnings of relationship sort of establishing with a rabbi down there, and see where that might go with opening up more relationships with the Jewish community. There's not really, as far as we know, a Jewish community in Horsham, but wherever we go, we're going to be connecting and seeking to do that. Because what I believe God showed my wife, Jane and I, when we were praying about this, or God spoke to us actually last year sometime, was that don't just see it as the gospel came to the Jews first, then it came to the Gentiles, but also see that verse that wherever you go, go to the Jew first, build relationships, bless them, then I'll open up, in quotes, the Gentiles, I'll open up the town to you. So that's pretty awesome, isn't it? So we're going to continue to just pursue that, and as a church, see if we can build relationships, just see where that goes. Jane and I are actually at a dinner on Friday night in London, Jews for Jesus, have a biannual European kind of board meeting that was on the Saturday, but they invite people that are friends of Israel or whatever on the Friday evening for a meal. So there are probably about 80 people there, and they were just sharing some of what they're doing in the UK and in Europe and what God's doing. And these guys are all Jews that work as part of Jews for Jesus, or the guys that shared anyway, and the key people in it. And they are full on with the gospel with Jews, but they do it in a way that is very relational. So probably some things we could learn from them. But there are Jewish people responding, becoming believers, being born again in this country, in different parts, different cities, which is great. God is moving and working. And so we just want to be part of what God's doing. Is that right? Yeah. Brilliant. Grab your Bibles. And if you want to turn to John 21... It is the 21st day of our prayer, fasting and feasting. So on one level, it's the last day, but actually it's not the last day of what we're doing. It might be a 21-day focus that God wanted us to have at the beginning of this year to launch us into the rest of the year. But one of the things God said, if you remember before Christmas when we were talking about this and what we're going to be doing, God said that he wants to change the lifestyle of the church. He wants to change our lifestyles. And that's why he said, I want you to fast media and detox from the lifestyle of the culture. So when God says something, we know then, well, he obviously must want to do something. And he if he tells us to do something, he must know there's some things that need to happen in us. Otherwise, he would not say to do a specific thing. So in relation to that, I just want to share some things, particularly from John 21, that I believe God is saying to us. Claire brought that word just before, at the beginning of the worship time, about how God sees us and how he sees what he's doing amongst us. That he doesn't just see what he's doing as a 21-day thing, and then we all wonder, well, what's next? What should we do now? and shall we go back to how we were living? He's basically saying, no, you're just at the beginning of something. I'm reorientating some things in my life. As we said the other week, I'm resetting the compass of your lives so that how you live is different because you're meeting with me and encountering me, and there's a greater release of me in your lives. Therefore, your lifestyle is going to change. Your schedules are going to change. What you give yourself is changing, because as you're giving yourself to me, then something happens on the inside of you. And maybe what's happened in your life or in my life is down to how much each one of us have responded to him or given of ourselves to him. So that, to the degree that you've given yourselves to him in this last 21 days will be really the degree that he works in any of our lives. We don't want to be dependent on the corporate life or on the life of the body to drag us along. You and I, we are the body. We are the members of the body. We make up what this thing is. And therefore, to the degree that you and I give ourselves to God and give ourselves to one another, that will be the degree to which your life is impacted. And also, when you do that, it's amazing how your life then impacts the life of who we are. So it's a two-way thing, isn't it? In terms of, and that's why we're members of the body, and we want to be healthy in the body and in the church. So I want to just go through some stuff in John 21 and just bring out one or two things from there that I believe God's saying to us as a church. So God's changing the lifestyle of who we are. I don't know about you guys, but I know in our home we've had a great time. And God's been doing a bit of number in my own life. And I don't think there's anybody on the planet that if you give God more space, he's not going to do anything. If you give God more space, he's going to fill it, isn't he? And what we've been doing the last few weeks is giving God that space as we've been seeking him and pressing into him and not giving ourselves to other things, then that creates an opportunity for him to do something in our lives. And I know for me, it's created a greater hunger to know him, to spend time with him, to get into the word more, to listen to him, hear what he's saying to me, as well as to us as a church. But particularly the last few days, the last week or so, there's been a lot more emphasis on holiness coming through in prayer meetings and times together, the encounter evening on Wednesday. And Thursday morning at the 8 o'clock at Roffey Place, all I can say is it was, I don't know if I could say it was God walking into the room, but what I would say is God turned up in his holiness. And I know various people that I spoke to, leaders and whatnot, that really had a God encounter. I know for me, what took place, I'll try and describe not what happened to me, but what does it mean to encounter God in his holiness in relation to what we're going to look at this morning? Because holiness is not a popular word, is it? No, it's not. It's not a popular word. Just turn to the person next to you, make sure they're alive this morning. Just check out, their eyes are open. And everything. Holiness is not a popular word, by the way. If we talk about the grace of God, people, oh yeah, brilliant. Or God's love, oh yeah. Or God's power, yeah, come on. But if we talk about holiness, people go, oh, here we go. You know, we've got to be this, that, the other. But actually, holiness leads to freedom. Yeah. Or holiness is freedom. Yeah. You know, holiness is peace with God. Yeah. Holiness is total well-being with God. Holiness actually is joy and liberty in God. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there's liberty, there's joy. And when we're living in the holiness of God, we're living in the Holy Spirit, and there's freedom, liberty, and joy. At the same time, there's the fear of God, there's a reverence of God, but not a shrinking back from God. But there's a fear of God that wants you want to walk humbly before him, because you recognize, God, you're holy, I'm not. But yet at the same time, there's a desire that rises in you when you encounter God in his holiness. That's like, Jesus, I want to be more like you. But yet at the same time, realizing I am not holy at all. But yet at the same time, but I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be holy. And that's what was happening within in me on Thursday. And just before God. And just so aware of he is holy. And the whole all day on Thursday, I lived with this, I don't know how to describe it really. I felt like I was in something. It was like I was, let's put it this way then. It was like I was in his holy presence all day. And no matter what I was doing, whether I was in my office doing stuff or if I had two or three meetings on Thursday with different people, and just aware of the holiness of God and not wanting to do anything, say anything that would contaminate that or dilute it. I don't know how to, you know, it wasn't that I suddenly became like, oh, I've got to be really careful, what, you know, living with this. It wasn't like that. It was like, God, I want to live in this. I want to live in you. This is like, God, you know. Now, I know we don't live according to feelings because I don't feel, I don't have that sense in the same way today. But what I do have on the inside of me is, God, I want to guard that. Because if you're holy, well, he is holy, not if, he's holy. And if I, we, us, me, you, whoever, if we're seeking to know him in a deeper way and surrender, submit our lives to him in a fresh way so that he really does have the rule and the reign, so we really are living in him in the way that he wants us to, then I have a responsibility to guard who the Holy Spirit is and what he's doing in my life and also in our life together as people, as a church. And so it's just being aware of his holiness. But it's not been a limiting thing or I'm not allowed to do that or that's going to be really boring, isn't it, or whatever. Actually, it's like I don't want anything that's not holy. And it produces a desire in you. Actually, God, I want to see how far away I can walk from that stuff and how close I can walk with you and to you, you know. And just hearing his voice or being aware more just of him being around or him being here. He's not here any more than he normally is, in one sense. But when he begins to reveal who he is, it's like he's here more than he normally is. And when God's moving on the inside of you, as far as you're concerned, he's on the move. Because if we look on the outside of our lives and we say, well, I'm waiting for God to move. When's God going to do what he says he's going to do? It's got to happen in you and I first. You see, if God's on the move on the inside of you, things are going to happen on the outside. Because God doesn't just move like that and then we all go, God's on the move, brilliant, come on, let's go with him. Because God's on the move through people. And he works through a people. God could do it on his own if he wanted and bypass the lot of us and just do whatever. But yet God seems to say, no, I don't just want to bypass you. I've called you to be a holy person. I've called you to live in me. I've called you to, I want to work through your life. That's what I want to do. And he wants to reveal himself through our lives. And therefore, he doesn't just want to say, well, you stand over there and I'll just do it all. He says, no, I want you to be part of what I'm doing. But I want you to let me to take over. I want you to let me be Lord, to rule and reign, all that kind of stuff. The flesh in you says, oh my word, I don't know if I want that. But your spirit on the inside of you goes, that's what I want. I want Jesus to be Lord. I want him to be number one. I want him to have everything. And then there can be that tussle. So how do you live in the holiness of God? It's a daily walk, step by step. Constantly having to surrender yourself to who he is. Holiness is not a state that you attain and suddenly, no, 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 I'm in holiness. It's not suddenly you find yourself hovering a few inches off the ground because you've suddenly become this sort of holy person and suddenly nothing can touch you because you're in this holy bubble. It's not like that at all. It's as you have a conversation with God day by day, and as you get before God, like we have been the last few weeks, and you talk things through, you pray things through with God, it's not about, God, make me more holy, God, make me more holy. It's Father, I surrender to you afresh right now. I just lay it before you right now. I take captive that thought. I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. Jesus, I'm aware of that response that I made to that person. It was negative. Father, I ask you to forgive me. God, I don't want any negativity in my life. I choose to walk in your holiness. It's like a constant conversation going on in your spirit with God. That's, you know, but also as you do that, the greater desire kind of develops, grows within you. It's like, because you're feeding something of him in you, it creates a greater desire for more of him in you. And therefore you surrender at the same time because you don't want to not live in who he is or where you were, because you're finding there's a greater hunger that's on the inside of you. And it's a dichotomy, isn't it, that goes on. It's like, Your part of you is like, oh, I don't know if I want that. But part of you is like, absolutely, that's what I want. And as you move towards him, you find that things drop off because you're laying hold of him in a fresh way. And the more you lay hold of him, the more he will lay hold of you. It's not God come and do it all in me so that I'm suddenly this person. He's like, no, it's got to come out of desire. But the more you fuel that desire, the more that desire grows within you. And that's where we're going. And it's not, these 21 days really are just to detox our lives. And I believe God wants us to carry on in that way. Not that we go back to whatever we were the day before. So let's have a look in John, a few weeks before. Let's have a look in John 21. And there's some things in it I believe God wants to just show us. And it happens to, obviously, John 21. It's the 21st day of our fast. This is the chapter that we're looking at today. I believe it's really relevant. In the beginning of the chapter, it says, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. They were by the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias. It's the same piece of water. There were seven of these guys, and Peter had said in verse 3, I'm going out to fish. And all the others went, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? I love that. The first thing that he says to them is not, oh, those guys, they've gone back to fishing, they've lost the plot. I knew they wouldn't do it. Right. He didn't shout out, oi, lads, come here. He shouted out, friends. And what we've been looking at the last couple of weeks is, what does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? And what is a friend of Jesus? Well, one of the things is Jesus said, I don't call you servants or slaves any longer. I call you friends. But I call you friends because a master doesn't show his slave or reveal to the slave all his plans and his heart and what he wants to do. A slave or a servant just serves him. Whereas a friend, you share your heart and your passion. You share everything you are with them. And Jesus said, I've made known everything of who the Father is to you. I've shared what my relationship is like with you as to how I know the Father. And I've even prayed for you that you'd have the same relationship with the Father as I have with him. And I've not wanted to hold anything back, but I wanted to reveal who the Father is to you so that you can know him like I do and know him in who he is and everything. And so Jesus starts, he doesn't rebuke him and say, oh, lads, you know, for goodness sake, I've only been gone a little while, you know, and you've already gone back to fishing. No, he says, hey, friends, have you caught anything? And they didn't realize it was him at first and they hadn't caught anything. And they shouted back, no. And then he says, and we'll throw your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat. Because later on it says they're about 100 yards away out in the water. I know sound carries across water a lot more easily than it does, you know, on land. But Jesus probably called out, you know, throw it on the right-hand side. So they threw it over and they caught, as it says later, 153 fish. The net was so full that they were having to drag it in behind them and everything. But these guys did it, and then one of them realized, hey, it's the Lord, it's Jesus. And as soon as Peter heard that, he hitches up his gown or whatever and jumps in, even though he's 100 yards out, and he's obviously, like Peter does, he's the one that always jumps into whatever first. He's off, and he wants to get to Jesus, and they haul this catch in. But Jesus is already on the beach, and he's already got a fire going. He's already got a few fish on the go. God doesn't need us. He could catch all the fish himself if he wanted to. He could set them on fire if he wants to. But actually, God doesn't want to do it without us. He's got a part for us to play in his purposes. These guys had lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, and it seems to be that pretty quickly they went back to what they were doing before he was with them. I believe one of the things that God wants to say to us is, look, you've had 3 weeks where I've been detoxing, decontaminating, I've been working in your hearts and lives. There's a fresh devotion that's been taking place in our hearts and lives towards him. And I believe God's saying, don't go back to what you've known. This is a time where you're going to have to go forward in faith. You're going to have to trust me in a fresh way. You're going to have to live trusting my Holy Spirit in a fresh way. Because you're not just going to do the same things as you were, because it doesn't produce. but actually you need to be listening to me, and just whatever I say when you do it, things are going to happen. So you're going to need to be more dependent on my spirit. You're going to have to trust me, listen to me. You're going to have to be quick to respond, and that, because that's where I'm taking you. In the same way that as soon as he said, put your net out on the right-hand side, and they did it, they got this huge catch of fish. Amazing when you look at the meaning of the 153 fish. As far as they knew at that time, there were 153 different types of fish that they were aware of at that time. And in one sense, I did a quick bit of reading about this. The numbers 153 also represent different things to Jewish people, what they mean according to the scriptures and everything. But they did know that there were 153 different types of fish at the time. And in one sense, it's like God's making a point to these guys. There's 153 fish in your nets. There's 153 different types of fish. And so what I'm calling you to do, remember, I've called you to be fishers of men. So I've called you to go to the nations to reach every type of person, people group, race, color, skin, language, tribe, and all of that. So there's going to be something that I'm calling you to that you're going to have to trust me and go by faith, because doing it the old way just isn't going to work. So if we're going to reach every people, tribe, tongue or whatever, or if we're going to see everything happen that God wants to, we're going to have to trust him. We're going to have to go by faith. The size of it is beyond what we can do in our own efforts. So it's like God's encouraged us, don't go back to where you were, but continue to press in to everything that I'm saying to you. Then it says in verse 8, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there and with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some fish over that you've just caught. Simon then climbed onto the board, dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. You know, when we try and do stuff, things fall apart. But when he does things, it doesn't. 153 should, by the sound of it, from what's written there, should have ripped the thing up. It sounded like it was too much. But yet, you know, when God does something, it doesn't fall apart. And God wants us to be living in days where he's doing stuff to such a degree that it doesn't fall apart. It doesn't, you know, somehow he enables us to handle what's going on. But let's have a look. What does it say a bit further? Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. What's God been doing over these last few weeks? You know the story of feeding the 5,000? Yeah. He'd been teaching all day. Imagine some of the disciples, you know, as Jesus is preaching and another hour goes past and another hour goes past and another hour goes past and they're into the afternoon. They're into, you know, you can imagine maybe some of the disciples and they'll be like, right, how do we cut into the meeting? How do we have a word with him and say, look, they've been here a long time, they're hungry. Maybe the disciples were just hungry and it was like, let's just tell him that everybody's hungry, but we'll, you know, because we're really hungry or something, I don't know. But imagine them trying to find an opportunity. How do we tell Jesus that, you know, they're hungry, they need to go and get something to eat? Well, they managed to get his attention somehow. But what did Jesus say? Well, you feed them. I'm busy, guys. I'm doing my thing. You do your thing. I'm busy preaching and teaching. You sort the buffet out and I'll teach them and let me know when it's ready. And then we'll tell them food's up, you know. But they came back to Jesus, didn't they? Because they were like, we've only got a few fish and a few loaves. What are we going to say? Imagine the conversation. Who's going to go and tell Jesus there's only a couple of fish and a few loaves? Well, Peter, you do it. You always put your foot in it. So you go and have a chat with Jesus. So imagine them coming up to Jesus. Sorry, Jesus, I know you're in chapter something of Matthew at the moment or whatever is going to be written in the years to come. But we've only got kids meal from McDonald's. That's about the size of it. You know, what are we going to do? There's 5,000 plus women and children. So we reckon there's 15,000-20,000 people here. And we've got a couple of tuna sarnies. What are we going to do with this lot? And it wasn't even M&S, you know, it was from whatever. And What did Jesus say? He says, give it to me. What did he do? He blessed it. But then what did he do? He handed it back to the disciples. And he said, right, now distribute it. Now imagine what that moment where Jesus has a couple of fish and a few loaves. And he gets a loaf and he breaks it in half. I mean, Peter was looking at a couple of whole loaves there, thinking, well, that's going to be difficult feeding this lot. And then Jesus gets it and breaks it in half and breaks it in half. Then he gives a little bit to Peter. He says, mate, there's your little bit. Now you go and get on with it. You go and feed them. So then Peter goes to his first little group of 50 and he then breaks a little bread and it gets even smaller at that moment. And it's like, this is, at least there were two loaves over here, you know, but now there's like, whatever of a loaf. Whoever's good at maths will be able to tell me what that would work out at this moment. A sixth of what he had in the first place from two loaves, which is a 12th of one loaf that he had in his hand. Is that right? Yeah, that'll do anyway. And imagine that. He's even got a smaller bit now than he gave to Jesus. But what happened? As he began to give it and break it, he realised that as he began to break it, it's like, hey, hang on a minute. The more I break off, the more there is. The more I break off, the further it goes. And I wonder if the bigger he started to big off, you know, more chunks and more chunks, till suddenly he's like, hang on, this loaf's growing. I've got a bread maker in my hands here. And I can... See, what's been happening, God's been saying, put these last few weeks, put your life back into my hands. Because if you look at your life in your own hands and you take the promises of God and the commands of God and you've got your life in your own hands and he says, come on, guys, respond to my commands. He said, there's not going to be a lot of multiplication if you try and do it in your own strength. Right. But he's like, as you've been putting your lives back in my hands, and allowing me to really be Lord in a fresh way, to reveal who I am in your life. It's like what I then do is I speak blessing over your life in a fresh way. And then what I do is I hand your life back in the sense of, okay, guys, now you need to do what I'm commanding you to do. So go and give of what I've blessed. Go and give of what I'm doing in your life. But what you'll find is as you give, that's when the multiplication starts happening. That's when the release will start. The release won't start if you're waiting for me to do it. Because Jesus didn't distribute the miracle himself. The miracle happened when the disciples began to distribute it. All Jesus did was pray over it and bless it and then say to the lads, here you go, guys. Here's your bit of what you gave me. So it didn't multiply from Jesus' hands into their hands. It only multiplied once they started to give it away. And in one sense, this is where there's this moment of faith for us in terms of responding to God. Because it's like a moment for us where it's like, God, I want to continue to pursue you, continue to press into you. I'm not going to take that space back and refill it with some other stuff that was there before. You've detoxed, sorted me out, done some stuff. I want to continue because I'm sure there's more. But I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at you. And I'm sure on the way you'll bring stuff up. But it's so that I live more fully in who I am in you and what you're doing in my life and in our life together. But it's like God saying, right, now what you do is take what I'm doing in your life and I want you to give it away. I want you to distribute that out to people. And you'll find there's a release, a multiplication that starts to take place through your life. But you're only going to see the miracles when you give it away. That's the moment of faith. That's the step that I believe God is talking to us about for 2014. You can link that. It's our lives at the end of the day that are going to be fruitful. Changing from life groups to small groups and what the small groups are going to be, connected with people's passion and heart and what you've got a heart for, what you want to be involved in, what you want to see happen. It's not about just changing the structure of something and therefore because we change the structure, God's going to do something. You can change whatever structure you like and God's going to go, brilliant, nice structure, but that doesn't make me move. God works in and moves through people. And in response to what God was saying about 2014, as a leadership, I believe God was saying, you do need to change the wineskin. Because the wineskin you've currently got is hindering the way in which I want to release some things through your lives. So God can be releasing through our lives. But if we are not kind of got the wineskin in the way that he wants, then that can hinder some things in that way. And so we wanted to open things up and connect with people's hearts and passions and what that's going to look like in the coming months. And it'd be great just to have your feedback over the next few weeks. What have you got a heart and passion for? And there's some questions on the sheet. You can fill it in and it will help you to, you know, understand what you might need to say or put on there. And then we'll gather all of that lot together and see out of all the things across the life of the church and what initially from May to July we can put in place. And then there'll probably be other things added to that in the autumn to broaden it out more and more as we go forward. So we want to try and help everybody connect with their heart and passion, which I believe, or hopefully, in relation to what God's saying, I believe that we'll be connected with how we want to impact, see people's lives impacted. Not just that we get loads of things back saying, I want to do a Bible study. You know, because we don't want 30 or 40 small groups just doing Bible studies. That's not the moment that we're in. The moment that we're in is throw your net on the other side. And you're going to have to find, you're going to be dragging this to the... It's not just going to be a few here and there. You're going to have to drag this thing in. There's going to be a lot that takes place. But the miracles happen, the multiplication happens when we respond to what God says. The multiplication doesn't happen because God has said it. And it's like, well, come on then, God, you've said it. Go on in. You know, it's because we respond to what he says. Just want to read something before we pray that God said to me the other day. I'll just read a couple of short paragraphs that I wrote down for us as a church. And I was just praying, this is a few days ago, I was just praying for us as a church in what God's doing. And I believe he said to me, this is for us as a church, not just to me as an individual. I've called you to be a set. I've called you to a set apart life, one that is given over to me. I've called you to live free from the contamination of the spirit that is at work in the world. I've saved you out of the control of that spirit and have put a new heart and spirit within you. My spirit in you is holy. It is pure. It is undefiled. It sets you apart for me, your Holy Father, and for my will and purpose to be done in the earth. As you seek me, I'm creating a hunger and longing for righteousness and holiness within you, an all-consuming desire to be at one with me, to be like me. Once you've tasted me in this way, there is nothing that will satisfy or fulfill you like I do. You'll not be able to settle for anything less than knowing and walking with me in this way. It is the highway of holiness. And he went on to talk to me about, and I've written some other stuff down, but part of it was not too many people want to walk in that way. Many people just want, well, I'll have a bit of this and a bit of that without even realizing it. I'll kind of have the Christianity that I'm comfortable with rather than saying, God, I want to live in the way that you've called me to. He even said, you know, as you encounter me in this way and you allow me to work amongst you in a greater way, in some ways, it will seem like before, it will feel like, well, it feels like I wasn't even saved properly then in relation to who God is and what he's doing in my life now. But also there'll be it's like, I won't want to go back to that. I want to continue to pursue who God is. Some families have just said they've had an amazing time over these last few weeks because it's set kind of a bit of new, what was a discipline at first that's become a desire in their context of at the end of the mealtime in the evening, just looking at the word, praying together, praying for unsaved friends, having communion. And I know a number of families said, you know, it'd be great if there's something else to that we can use or to have, if possible, you know, to help us go forward. And on one level, that's great. On another level, when you don't have a framework, that's where the will comes in, or the decision, or the heart comes in to say, well, what are we going to continue doing? Is it a framework that has helped us to do this, which it might have done, but we don't want to be dependent on the framework of what we believe God said to put in place during these 21 days. We want to move that from a Let's continue to live like this. What we have said to a few families is, well, in February there's 28 days. In the Gospel of Matthew there's 28 chapters. So maybe use the Gospel of Matthew during February. And again, carry on praying together as a family. You know, I said to one family, I said, so you've enjoyed it? And they're like, oh, we've actually loved it. It's been amazing. It's just brilliant what God's been doing. I said, well, would you go back to how it was before? No, don't be silly. You know, no, we want to carry on. And I mean, I haven't come across anybody that said, this praying, fasting, feasting has been a right pain in the neck the last few weeks. I'd much rather have sat and watched telly all week. And, you know, it's just been a right old thing having to read the Bible and have communion with people. I mean, I don't know if anybody's had that in their own. You've thought that yourself. I don't know. But I haven't come across anybody who's thought that. So in one sense, why would anybody want to go back to the way it was? So let's be on our guard and vigilant. Because what we don't want to do by next week, in a few days or in a week's time, is realise, hang on a minute, I had good intentions. But actually, we ended up just, it didn't last long, did it? And, you know, as Christians, we have a responsibility to really guard what God is doing in our lives. Guard his presence in our lives. Because I know for me and what's happening to me, I want to continue to live in what he's doing. I know there's a different atmosphere in our house, our home, and in our lives as a result of what God's doing. And we want that to continue. And obviously you said here in the word that we had in the worship that he's called us to live set apart. He's jealous for our lives. And that our hearts and lives are given to him first and foremost. And then from that, his heart, for whatever context we're in, our homes, our families, our households, friends, neighbours, work colleagues, our heart for them flows out of his heart that he has for us and how we encounter him. So let's stand together, shall we? And just take a few minutes. We're going to just respond to the Lord this morning. You know, in Matthew 26, I think it is, where Jesus is in a house and Lazarus has just been raised from the dead and he's in the house. And a lady comes in with a very expensive jar of perfume. And they said it was worth about a year's wages. So if you think the average wage now is about £25,000 a year, £26,000 a year, something like that. So imagine having a jar of perfume that's worth £25,000. And this woman comes in and she opens it and she begins to pour it over Jesus' head, pour it over him. She's at his feet. And her tears are wetting his feet and she's drying his feet with her hair and everything. And people in the room were saying, firstly, if he knew who this woman was, he wouldn't let her go near him. Others were thinking, wow, that perfume, that's like a year's wages. What a waste. We could have sold it and given the money to the poor. I mean, that wasn't what was actually in their heart. It was, what a waste. Yeah, at that moment, that lady was giving herself 100%, worshipping, thanking Jesus. And Jesus, I just bow everything, I worship at your feet. In that context, the oil represented him being anointed for burial. One of the things I believe God said to me when I was praying earlier was that as we've been coming before him, it's like we've been opening up our lives in a fresh way and pouring our lives out afresh at his feet. And it's like us coming before God and worshipping him in a fresh way and allowing him to reveal who he is in our lives. And I believe God said to me, as you've been doing that, it's as well as me anointing you in a fresh way, he said, as you've been doing that, it's like your lives and your worship, and as you've been responding to me and surrendering, submitting yourself afresh to me, it's like you've been anointing me. Yeah. I was like, whoa. It's like you've been anointing me. So maybe just thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life, first of all. Let's just raise our voices a bit and just talk with him and just thank him for what he's been doing the last 21 days. The things that have happened in your life, the way he's been speaking to you. Just thank him that he's revealed more of who he is. Maybe there's a greater hunger and desire. So thank him for that, but also turn that into, Father, I want to continue in you. I want to pursue you. I'm going to continue to press in to you. I'm going to continue to lay hold of you because, Father, I understand that the more I lay hold of you and as much as I lay hold of you, you lay hold of me. You reveal yourself to me. So, Father, I want to continue to cultivate that hunger and desire, cultivate that longing to know you, to walk with you, to live in you, to live in your holiness, to know you in that way. Father, I want to live humbly also before you. I want to live in a reverence and a fear of you, an awe of you, that I want to keep my life clean. I want to keep it right with you as you've been revealing who you are. But at the same time, I know that holiness leads to freedom and liberty and joy, a total well-being in you, knowing I'm at peace with you, that the world might rattle around me doing all kinds of stuff, but yet knowing you is more powerful, stronger, more resistant than any of the noise and the pressure from the world around. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just if this is on your heart, just tell him that, God, I want to know you in a greater way. I thank you for what you've been doing, but I'm not satisfied. I don't know if that's where you're at. God, I'm not satisfied. I know there's more to discover of you. I know there's more you want to reveal of who you are. So, Jesus, I don't want to stop here. I don't want to say, well, that was 21 days. What next? I want to continue in what you're doing. I want to continue to press in there. If you're married, Father, in our relationship, I want to continue to press in there. If your husband or wife's not saved, let's continue to pray together for them, to see them come right through into their relationship with God that God has for them. Praying for your family. God, I want to continue as a family. Whatever you've been able to do, if you've been able to do this in your context, to pray together and have communion together. God knows that if you haven't been able to do that because maybe your husband or wife don't know the Lord yet and you haven't been able to do that in that context, God knows that and that's fine. There's no way that you have missed out in terms of what God's been doing. God knows the restrictions that there are sometimes in our lives, in our families because of various things. And that doesn't mean that God's done anything less or can't do things in you because there might be some restrictions. But God knows your heart. And God honors and responds to the cry, the desire of your heart. And he knows maybe if some of you have not been able to do some of these things, like maybe some other households have been able to. God knows your heart. And he's hearing every prayer. I believe there's one person here you've been in this situation, but you've still been praying, God, I want to pray that my husband gets saved so that as a family we can come into all this stuff that I so much want. And it's like God's heard, it's like your prayer's gone up as a fragrance. It's like a pleasing aroma fragrance. And we need to agree and join with you, whoever you are, to see your husband, or whoever that person is, come right through to know God so that the whole of your household can come into everything that God has for you as a family. So, Father, we just join with that lady right now. We just agree with you right now that as the prayers have gone up like an aroma, a fragrance to the throne room of God, we just agree for a download of heaven on earth into your husband's life. Father, we thank you. You reveal who you are to him, whatever resistance, reasoning, whatever's going on, that you would cut right through to the heart so that there's a heart response from him that bows the knee of his life that says, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to give my life to you and the impact that's going to have on the whole family. So, Father, we thank you and we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe just in a real simple way. Father, I put my life into your hands this morning. Like the fish and the bread were put into Jesus' hands. I just place my life in your hands in a fresh way. And I want to continue to leave my life in your hands so that I don't try and take it back again and go fishing on my own. But I thank you that as I put my life in your hands afresh right now, I thank you that you bless what is given to you. Father, I ask you that you would lead me and guide me. How do you want me to give away what you've blessed? How do you want me to release what you've blessed? So that I begin to see fruitfulness in a way that I haven't before. Where I see a release of things through my life, of you at work through my life in a way I haven't seen before. I thank you in the same way that disciples heard you. Throw your net on the right side of the boat. Father, I thank you. I would hear your voice just as clearly saying, do this, do that, pray this, speak that. So that I know how to respond. I know I'm going to have to trust you, Father. I know it's going to require faith. But I thank you that when you speak, you author faith, because that's where faith comes from. So even that, I haven't got to come up with the faith, because when you speak, faith is going to be authored in my spirit. And it's going to be like, I know that's what I've got to do. I might feel a little bit, oh, right, I've got to step out. But I know it's you, because you've spoken and something happened on the inside of me when you said, do this, say that, go there, be at this point or that, ring that person, text them, email them, Facebook them, whatever it is, Father, I thank you that as I respond to you, something of your spirit is going to get released to start things happening. And I thank you that as I begin to respond to you, I'm going to find, wow, God's actually doing it. God's actually doing it. And that's going to encourage me to respond even more quickly and more readily to how you want to lead me and what you want to do through my life. So, Father, we thank you. If you like, as a church, we're putting our life in your hands, saying, God, we can't reach and do everything that you've said in our own efforts. We'll just end up with an empty net, with holes in it and frustrated. But when we put our lives in your hands and you bless it, and then you say, now do this, there's a release of who you are. So, Father, as we as a church put our lives in your hands and you bless who we are, a few fish and a few loaves, a few people in a building in Horsham, a few people in a building in Worthing, a few people in a building in Crawley, a few people living in homes around this area. Thank you, as you bless our lives and we go in your name, multiplication starts getting released. And we know that there were 12 basketfuls left over. There was more than enough. There was loads. There was more than enough to go round. That the 15, 20,000 people you've called us to reach in our 25-mile radius, there's more than enough to reach that many. There's more of you to feed so many more than that as well. So we thank you. That's our first port of call. And Father, we want to start with going to our friends, our neighbours, those that are around our lives now. Whatever you want us to do, I don't know how you want to pray this, okay, guys? But Father, whatever you want me to do, I'm available and willing to do it. Might freak me out a bit, but that's where the miracles are. And I don't want to keep walking past miracles because I've got my eye on my own thing. But I want to walk into those miracles. See the things happen in my family's life, friends, neighbours, people that we're reaching out to. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Just thank God that he's going to take you on an adventure. Just thank him that he's going to freak you out a little bit, because that's what it means sometimes to walk by faith. There's a confidence and a knowing in it, but there's still that, right, okay, let's go. What's going to happen? How it's going to work? God will take care of how it's going to work out. We just got to trust him in our lives. So Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We just speak blessing over our lives, over the church, your goodness, your abundance. We thank you. It's going to be a great day, fruitful day. We thank this week, your hand upon our lives as we go. Father, I thank you. As we continue to press into you, you're going to reveal more of who you are into our lives as a people. We praise your mighty name. Amen. 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 At Roffey Place every day, weekday, Monday to Friday, there is a prayer, well, I won't call it a prayer meeting. It's a time to come and encounter God at 6:30 for half an hour. So if any of you can make that, you want to be there on any of those mornings, it's not a led thing where somebody comes leading a meeting for half an hour and everybody's just... sometimes there is a little bit of direction to it, but it's very much come and encounter God. And sometimes, you know, when you come with others to meet with God, it helps, you know, can help with others praying together and meeting with God. And I don't know if there's communion every day with that, is there? There probably will be communion as part of that every morning. But if you can make that and you want to, I know some people have to go early to stuff and you might think, right, I'm going to go for half an hour on the way to work or whatever, then you're more than welcome to come and meet with God in the morning at that time, or any of those mornings that you want to come to. Remember, grab your small group sheet, fill that in, let us know what's on your heart, what your passion is, because we want to just get all that really sorted so we can launch into that next phase of where we're going in a really positive way. Bless you. Maybe turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm ready to go fishing with you. Bless you guys. Have a really awesome day. Have a great, great week too. All right.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.